Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIEM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.
There's nothing different on my end. I mean, as I said last week, you know, it'd be week to week. I haven't heard anything this week saying he couldn't go. So, you know, I'll be hopeful that he can go this week. And if he can't, then, you know, hopefully he can go next week. But nothing's changed on this end.
That was Matt Rhule, head coach of your Carolina Panthers, on where he thinks Christian McCaffrey is going into this weekend's game against the Detroit Lions. And, well, not much there to offer at the moment, but yeah, we'll see where it goes. I'm reporting this morning from Ian Rappaport that there's optimism about Teddy Bridgewater and his availability for Sunday against the Lions, and Rapp reporting that Bridgewater was expected to practice today, though Smoke pointing out to me just a couple of minutes ago that Elena Getzenberg of the Charlotte Observer tweeting about 3 minutes ago that Teddy Bridgewater walked up to practice in a red injury jersey, typically meaning a player isn't participating in practice, but then said at the end, we shall see. I wouldn't panic about that simply because if he's still a little bit nicked up, well, Teddy knows the offense. They're 10 games into the regular season. Teddy missing a Wednesday of practice isn't ideal, but it's also not an indicator that he will not play on Sunday against the Lions. Still hearing, still expecting to see Teddy, unless we're told otherwise. And Lions head coach Matt Patricia, saying that they have to prepare as if they'll see both Bridgewater and McCaffrey this weekend.
I mean, Bridgewater and McCaffrey are great players, you know. So from our standpoint, I know Coach Rhule is going to do a great job with the game plan, and from that standpoint, we'll prepare like everybody's playing, and then we'll adjust and go from there. But when you have certainly two dynamic players like those guys are, you better be ready to go for them.
There you go. Matt Patricia, his thoughts on preparing for Bridgewater and McCaffrey. Listen to Sports Radio FNZ as we get you ready for the Panthers versus Lions. Join Mac and Brett Jensen for countdown to kickoff coverage starting at 11 a.m. Sunday, November 22nd, and then stick around for the complete postgame coverage with Mac and Nick Wilson right after the Panthers game right here on Sports Radio FNZ. And speaking of FNZ and what's to come tomorrow here on the station, whoever the Hornets select tonight with the first overall or the third overall pick in the first round, whoever that pick may be, will join Mac and T-Bone tomorrow morning on the Mac Attacks. You can expect to hear the first round pick there tomorrow morning. And then here in the clubhouse tomorrow, we'll be joined by Hornets GM and president of basketball operations, Mitch Kupchak, and head coach James Borrego. We'll join Nick Wilson and Stan Norfleet tomorrow afternoon. So the pick in the morning, we'll have Mitch Kupchak right here in the midday with us. And then you'll have James Borrego joining Nick Wilson and Stan Norfleet tomorrow throughout the day as we react to whatever the Hornets do tonight in the NBA draft. And what they do tonight is, you know, not only a huge question mark and obviously our topic of discussion for several days, a couple of weeks even, but it's also been influenced by a couple of things. First of all, you know, the philosophy, so to speak. Mitch Kupchak has said they're still in BPA mode, best player available mode. And whatever that means to them, we're going to find out, because BPA could end up being LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards, or it could be a spot where I think BPA intersects with what they could use the most, and that's, you know, a guy with superstar potential in the front court in the form of James Wiseman. What I'm not sure any longer about is that front court, you know, could look like what we've discussed at a couple of moments here. That's Onyeka Okongwu out of USC. Projected top 10 pick. Onyeka Okongwu has a fractured left toe, sources telling Jonathan Givony of ESPN. The injury is considered minor, will require 1 to 3 weeks of rest, and is not expected to impact his draft stock or availability for the start of the season. That is from Jonathan Givony 11 minutes ago. And that runs counter, you know, to what we've heard this morning. Multiple reports said about, I don't know, 7, 8 this morning, that injury was actually more serious. That it was reported to be possibly a metatarsal injury, that he was in a boot, and that it might require his rehab to stretch well into the regular season, meaning then that many were expecting his draft stock to slip tonight. But according to Jonathan Givony, ESPN draft analyst and Draft Express with ESPN, Givony 12 minutes ago saying that it's a fractured left toe and 1 to 3 weeks of rest and not expected to impact his draft stock now. So we have some conflicting reporting, and, you know, Gavoni, one of the leading voices in the industry, most trusted voices in the industry, is now saying it's not as bad as was originally reported and that his draft stock may not slip. This is crazy season. This is the final 8 hours leading up to the NBA draft. You're getting information, intel from everybody. Now, the one thing I want to go back to here is that, you know, BPA is the philosophy. Yesterday morning, Jay Billis, ESPN college basketball analyst, joined the Mac Attack and was asked if he thinks that this is the year for the Hornets to quote-unquote swing for the fences.
You have to look at the draft not by saying what has a third pick traditionally gotten you. You have to look at the draft as what's available this year. So if you're, you know, sort of the idea, like you're saying, of the mixing sports metaphors of the home run versus, you know, do I swing for the fence or do I take the double that I know I can hit with this guy?
Yeah.
Do you really think that LaMelo Ball has the chance to be great? How many players in this thing have a real chance to be great? It's not as many as you would have in other years. Because in years past, and you don't want to drag past into this because you know, Mitch Kupchak wasn't here when all these decisions were made. But, you know, when Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was drafted, the idea was, let's take him and then we'll teach him how to shoot. And nobody's been able to teach him how to shoot yet. And when Adam Morrison was drafted, I think that was number three.
Yes.
I remember that year saying, well, you know, I know the Hornets liked him, but I said, you know, Rudy Gay was the best player at that spot. But he wasn't going to be a superstar, but he was going to be a long-term, really good player. And that would have been the better pick. So it's making the best pick with what you have rather than, you know, looking at it historically.
There you go. Jay Billis yesterday morning on the Mac Attack asked about, quote unquote, swinging for the fences. Now, I don't know what swinging for the fences represents to everybody, but for some, it represents James Wiseman. And not just picking him third overall, possibly, but even drafting up to go or trading up to go get him. Now, here's more information, more intel, more reporting, you know, that may or may not inform what's going to happen tonight. But a report out there for the last couple of hours that the Chicago Bulls, who are picking fourth in this draft behind the Hornets, have discussed trading the number four overall pick and Wendell Carter Jr., a former Duke Blue Devil, for the number two overall pick that the Golden State Warriors currently own, and the Bulls would be trading up from four to two, throwing in Wendell Carter Jr. as a means to go up to get two and get James Wiseman, second overall. That's a report out this morning as well, that the Bulls are talking with the Warriors about a deal to move up to two and swipe James Wiseman. So what do we think here? That the Hornets, you know, initially put out this Wiseman report to encourage others to trade up because they were never actually going to draft Wiseman, but, you know, wanted to make sure their guy was left at three? Or is that, in fact, what the Hornets are still considering doing? And sometime in the next 8 hours, we find out that the Hornets are going to trade up to one to ensure that they get Wiseman. You know, we've also read this morning that Michael Jordan has given his quote-unquote seal of approval for LaMelo Ball at three. We haven't heard as much, I don't think, about the Hornets' direct interest in Anthony Edwards, but it's there. And those are the three guys that at the very least we expect to see go, you know, in the top three of tonight's draft. But getting back to James Wiseman, the guy that I still believe the Hornets are hoping they end up with this evening, Jay Billis offered some thoughts yesterday morning on the potential of James Wiseman.
He's a 7'1" Chris Bosh with a 7'6" wingspan, mobile, lob threat, block shots, rim runs. I mean, he's got a really good shooting touch. I think if he had played the whole year at Memphis, we probably wouldn't be having this discussion. Yeah. And he's an unbelievable young man. I mean, incredibly smart, engaging. He gets it. And I think he's going to be a really good NBA player. But I don't know if the Hornets stay at three, I don't know that he's still going to be there.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be gone at two.
Yep, there you go. And that aligns with what we're hearing more and more. But again, it's smoke. It's chess. It's just the Hornets are playing the game. I'm grateful for that. It's great to see the Hornets playing the game. I just don't know how much of this stuff that we can rely upon. Billis, though, saying that he doesn't think that, you know, Wiseman's still there at three, does align with some of what we're hearing. Not just that the Warriors would be willing to take Wiseman, but that other teams would like to trade up to get him, like the Chicago Bulls. They would leapfrog the Hornets, you know, in that draft order to get James Wiseman, if that's in fact what they decide to do. I have no idea. The top three order tonight, and this is the first time it's felt like that in a while, which makes it, I think, more fun. And the Hornets could very well end up with Anthony Edwards out of Georgia. Great story. You know, a kid who's overcome a lot of adversity in his life. Great profile piece over at ESPN.com 2 days ago about that. Anthony Edwards has overcome a lot in his life. 6'5", 225, you know, built like a pro athlete already, has the skill set. And Jay Bill is saying yesterday that he thinks Anthony Edwards is the best prospect in this year's draft.
I think he's the best prospect overall. The trick in this draft is going to be separating, you know, who's the best prospect versus, you know, who's going to be the best player down the road. Like, he's got the ability to be the best player. There's nobody that's got all the tools he's got on both ends of the floor, the athleticism, you name it. I mean, he's got it all. But he doesn't really know how to play just yet. And I think he's learning, and he'll get a lot better, but it's not all put together yet.
That's Jay Billis on Anthony Edwards yesterday on the Mac Attack. And Edwards, there's reason to like him. I can't deny that. There's reason to like him. He's a little bit inconsistent, right? And Minnesota needs a defensive presence. They like him potentially alongside D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns. So there's a great chance he goes first overall tonight. I want to point that out. He's a little bit inconsistent, but he has a big frame. He is quick. He can defend across positions. And he's got good instincts, go-to scoring instincts that could complement some of what Minnesota already has really, really well. But I keep going back to Wiseman. I just continue personally to keep going back to Wiseman, in part because I like what we know about him, but I also wonder how much he might have changed and improved, you know, since the only three games he played at Memphis. And James Wiseman talked just the other day and was asked what kind of player he is in the NBA.
Any team that gets him, like, I would be truly grateful for that. But just, like, coming from, like, the Warriors' perspective, like, any team's perspective, I feel that, like, any team that needs a center, like, I can be able to provide, just running the floor, blocking shots. And really just, like, use my versatility that I've been working on. But I'd say just blocking shots, my main component is blocking shots, running the floor, and just being able to guard 1-5. So
that right there, what he just said, while it's great and it's a good thing, because he didn't talk much about the offense, we have the people out there that will say, yeah, well, you don't take a defensive-minded rebounder with the third overall pick. I know there will be that school of thought out there, and I think that the MKG decision from years ago factors a lot into that. I don't think they're the same. I don't think they're close to the same. But he talked about his defense and his rebounding. That's where he can help right away. But when you watch him and you talk about the athleticism, the way that he moves in transition, the feathery touch, I mean, the jump shot doesn't look bad. There's just not a great big sample size of it. We don't know what kind of jump shooter he can be with a year or two of development or 3 years of development in the NBA. I mean, this guy, as Jay Billis said, could very well be Chris Bosh, a guy who could step out and knock down a three, you know, step back and knock down an 18-footer, a 17-footer with regularity. If Wiseman turns out to be, you know, a 19-point-per-game, 8.5-rebound-per-game type of guy like Chris Bosh was for his career, you'd take that all day long, every single time. All the time. Will he be that? Well, you know, time will tell. Listen to Sports Radio FNZ on your smart speaker. Just ask it to play Sports Radio FNZ, powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Who is the right pick for the Hornets tonight? Well, Paul Biancardi, National Recruiting Director for ESPN, will tell you next here in the clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ.
Sports Radio FNZ. No one has more opinions. No one has more insight into the business. That's why you'll get it all here first. And if you miss it, download the Radio.com app. You can rewind up to 24 hours of the show, so you'll never miss a word. It's the Mac Attack. This is Sports Radio FNZ.
He's a 7'1" Chris Bosh with a 7'6" wingspan, mobile, lob threat, block shots, rim runs. I mean, he's got a really good shooting touch. I think if he had played the whole year at Memphis, we probably wouldn't be having this discussion. Yeah. And he's an unbelievable young man. I mean, incredibly smart, engaging. He gets it. And I think he's going to be a really good NBA player. But I don't know if the Hornets stay at 3, I don't know that he's still going to be there. Yeah. I think he's going to be gone at 2.
That was the voice of Jay Billis here on Sports Radio FNZ. Yesterday on James Wiseman, the Hornets hold the third overall selection for this year's NBA draft. Sports Radio FNZ, the only place to get all of the exclusive behind-the-scenes details. The Charlotte Hornets' third overall pick is the team's highest selection since 2012. Earmuffs, I know. Stick around and see who will be the next great selection for our Charlotte Hornets, only on Sports Radio FNZ. And a quick preview of tomorrow morning. Whoever the Hornets select in the first round tonight will be joining the Mac Attack, Mac and T-Bone, tomorrow morning. Mitch Kupchak will be here in the clubhouse tomorrow as well to talk about tonight's business, and head coach James Borrego joining Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet tomorrow afternoon. But that was Jay Billis offering some thoughts on James Wiseman, calling him Chris Bosh, a comp that I like. And if you knew you were getting Chris Bosh at, you know, a career of 19 points and 8.5 rebounds per game, I think you'd take it every time. I wonder what Paul Biancardi thinks about that. National Recruiting Director for ESPN, former Horizon League Coach of the Year, our buddy Paul Biancardi back with us on the Technicom Hotline. Paul, how you been, man?
I'm doing great, Kyle. I'm excited about tonight like everybody else in Charlotte.
So what do you think of Jay's comp right there? Calls him Chris Bosh. I mean, like I said, if I knew I was getting Chris Bosh with the third overall pick, I'd take it every time.
No question about it. I mean, Jay just nailed the evaluation of James Wiseman. I don't have Bosh as a comparison. For me, it's a little bit more David Robinson going old school on this, because centers are old school type players. But still, nevertheless, David Robinson was a double-double. Bosh, I think, is just a little bit more offensively gifted than Wiseman at the same stage. Not saying Wiseman can't get there. Maybe LaMarcus Aldridge type. There's nobody like him in the draft. There's very few like him in the NBA, James Wiseman. If you could create a today's version of a big man and you put it in a laboratory, right, James Wiseman would come out of the laboratory. That's how it looks for him. The size, the length, we know the measurables are unbelievable. 9'6" standing reach, which means without leaving the ground, he's 4 inches from the rim. That type of paint protection, finishability is much needed by the Hornets. I mean, obviously the Hornets need a lot of different things as they rise in the standings, but I don't think you can ever leave somebody like James Wiseman on the board.
I don't, and by the way, I think it needs to be pointed out here that while his offensive game certainly needs to be polished and developed, we're not talking about trying to fix MKG's jump shot here. I mean, I've watched this kid's tape like you have, and you see it better than I do, but I see a lot to work with offensively. Do you?
Absolutely. I've watched James Wiseman since he was a sophomore in high school. I've been in the gym with him at practice, after practice, before practice. I watch him shoot the ball facing the basket. He started out about 10 feet and creeped out to 12 to 15. And by the time he was a senior, Kyle, he was making threes in shooting drills. Now, he doesn't shoot a lot of them in high school. He didn't shoot a lot of them in high school. We didn't get a chance to see him at Memphis all that much. Three games, he had a high field goal percentage. As Jay mentioned, if he played the whole season, I think teams would be salivating for him. He can shoot it facing up, and I'll tell you what he has. He has a mean left-handed jump hook over his right shoulder. He can score one-on-one in the post, but right now, as he enters the NBA, what he gives you is that ultimate rim protection, a rebounder, a big who can run and finish, a screener who can roll and dunk, and I believe right now he can short roll and make that 12 to 15-footer. Extremely coachable, high character. I mean, this guy is everything you want in your big man.
Paul Biancardi, National Recruiting Director for ESPN, former Horizon League Coach of the Year at Wright State. He's with us on the Technicom Hotline. There's a lot of uncertainty in this draft, Paul, but the one thing I think we can be close to certain about is that some order, some combination of Wiseman, Edwards, and Ball are going 1-2-3 in tonight's draft. I'll start with LaMelo Ball. I could be convinced. I understand why he's enticing to some teams. I also know that he potentially comes with some baggage, and there are some things about his game that, you know, are a little bit worrisome. Do the pros outweigh the cons for you for LaMelo Ball, or is it the other way around?
Oh, no, the pros way outweigh the cons. And part of the cons with LaMelo Ball is obviously his dad, LeVar, which isn't, you know, he's not going to be with him, hopefully, when he comes to Charlotte. It seems like LaMelo and his dad, they haven't separated, but I think LaMelo now keeps him at bay. So the things that I'd be concerned about with LaMelo Ball are strictly on the court in terms of, you know, defensive buy-in and the ability to put effort out on the defensive end. He has length. He has great vision on offense, which would make him a terrific defender with his vision to anticipate on defense. It's just a question for LaMelo Ball getting in habit defensively, you know, buying into what the coach is selling and being a good teammate. And he's been professionalized twice. So the NBA is not going to blow him away in terms of, you know, pro basketball practices and what it's like to be around grown men. I think he'll fit in exceptionally well with any franchise. The question is, how will he fit in that locker room and with the guys on the team? That's the question that I would have.
All right, similar question about Anthony Edwards. I love his backstory. You know, he was fun to watch play at Georgia. I understand that he's powerful, he's dynamic, he can play through contact, he can get his own shot. I also know he's not a pure shooter and that there's been some questions about effort and things like that along the way. It sounds to me like I think if I had to take a stab at it, Anthony Edwards goes first to Minnesota tonight. But if he lands in Charlotte, you know, what would you say to Hornets fans to convince them that that would be a solid pick for this organization?
Be patient with Anthony Edwards. He's going to take time. One of the youngest players in the draft, physically gifted. And when we look at guys that are physically gifted, sometimes we expect that productivity level to match their draft status or their body. You're talking about a huge jump. He made a huge jump from high school to college, and he was very inconsistent in that 1 year at Georgia, but he was tremendous in terms of scoring the basketball, sometimes by volume. But if you get Anthony Edwards, you just have to be patient with him, and he has to get in good habits as well when it comes to conditioning and what he does off the court, because a lot of these guys have so much free time now that sometimes they don't manage their time as well. And that's what I like about LaMelo Ball. As I mentioned, he's been a professional twice, Lithuania and Australia. I think he has an idea how to manage his time. I think he understands what it means to be a pro. And Anthony Edwards has a learning curve when it comes to that, but undeniable talent.
All right, let's talk about. I want to talk about a local product here because I don't know if it's true that, you know, the Bulls could end up taking him tonight, fourth overall. We've already seen this morning the Bulls may be engaged in trade talks with the Warriors, but yeah, there've been some rumors floating about that that a kid, Patrick Williams, here from West Charlotte High School, spent a year with Leonard Hamilton at Florida State. You know, had been shooting up the draft boards and could go as high as fourth overall. What's the allure to Patrick Williams? What kind of pro do you think he'll be?
Well, productivity and potential. Not many guys in this draft have a combination of both. I think when you look at, you know, James Wiseman, you see productivity and potential. When you look at a guy like Anthony Edwards right now, you see more potential than you do productivity. Now, Pat Williams, I mean, first of all, an excellent defender where he can switch onto opponents' point guards or four men. So he covers that defensive ability that all NBA teams want. But offensively, natural strength. Shoots it from deep. He can score on the drive game. He can post you up. I love the way he offensive rebounds. Now, he doesn't have an alpha mentality, but he has alpha talent. He's only 18 years old, and he's one of the closest things that I've seen to a young Kawhi Leonard, kind of an unassuming star in the making.
If you had to pick between Denny Avia and Onyeka Okongwu, not that anybody necessarily has to, but maybe somebody will tonight. If those were your selections, Okongwu or Denny Avia, where would you go?
I'm going with Onyeka Okongwu. In my mind, he's a very safe pick, and I say that in a very positive way. He does so many things well defensively, and offensively he can score on the blocks, but you know you're getting rim protection, rebounding, defense, high motor. He brings it all the time, a great character, young man. People compare him to Bam Adebayo. Not offensively, he's not that gifted. But defensively, he can give you what Bam gives you, and he can score inside in the paint. If I had a choice between those two prospects, now I've only watched Denny on film. Onyeka, I've watched since he was a sophomore in high school, and I love his progress, and I love everything about Onyeka Okongwu. Whoever gets him is going to get a 10- to 15-year NBA starter.
Paul, before I let you go, we've spent a ton of time, as you can imagine, like everybody does, talking about the number three pick. It's huge. It's potentially transformational for this team if they get it right. But I'm, you know, nearly as excited to see where Mitch goes in the second round with picks 32 and picks 56. And last week I was looking at one mock draft, and it's just one mock, one guy's opinion. But, you know, he had him doubling down on a couple of guys named Cassius. Cassius Stanley at 32, Cassius Winston at 56. I don't need necessarily breakdowns of those guys, but I think it informs some people of the kind of talent that could be out there in the second round. Who do you like most in that second round? Who are some guys you think have a chance to be great?
Well, this draft, Kyle, when you look at the top, there's a few very good players. Not sure if any of those guys are guaranteed all-stars, but this draft has an abundance of good players. And when you start getting into the late first round, second round, it's going to be all based on someone's evaluation that somebody gets pulled into the first round who everybody else has as a second round pick. So I'll be curious to see how teams evaluate tonight. Speaking of the Cassius, I love Cassius Stanley. I mean, super explosive from Duke. If you could get him early in the second round, you know, he's a little bit older, but he has continued to get better. One of the best athletes in the high school game when he went into college, but his shooting and his passing has gotten better. Think about Norman Powell right now. That's what Cassius Stanley is like. And I like him early in the second round. Cassius Winston, you know, he's the ultimate point guard for any team. I think, you know, I don't know if the Hornets would go in that direction, especially if they got LaMelo Ball. But love Cassius Stanley, and I'm going to give you another name. I absolutely love Elijah Hughes, the young man that came out of Syracuse. He's an isolation player, a bucket getter. He really made a big jump in his second season at Syracuse. He came from East Carolina. I think he's a bucket getter.
Fantastic. Paul, it's always a pleasure. I always walk away feeling like I learned something, man. We appreciate your time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
There you go. Paul Biancardi, National Recruiting Director, ESPN, former Horizon League Coach of the Year at Wright State. And you heard it right there. Very, very complimentary of all three of the guys we expect to go in the top three. I think as much as anything, though, what you heard from him right there is his thoughts on Wiseman. The point that he made about LaMelo, you know, being professionalized a couple of times, Lithuania, Australia, and, you know, that not being blown away by being a pro, I think that matters more than some people are willing to admit. And the people I'm talking about are those that are just, they want nothing to do with LaMelo Ball. I think that's something that should be absolutely factored in and talked about more in his favor. You know, that he didn't opt to play college basketball. It didn't go the quote-unquote traditional route, though it's becoming less and less traditional. And he has been professionalized twice. So being in the NBA with a brother already there, having been professionalized twice is not going to be a shock to him. I don't think it'll be a shock to James Wiseman. And I thought that David Robinson comp was really, really interesting. I'm going to talk some more about that. But first, when we come back, we'll try to make you some money. The Bailey Bets night number two of Maction for you college football degenerates. We'll lay some wagers next here in the clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ.
Sports Radio FNZ. The ACC plays here.
Ball is fumbled. It is rolling.
We are Charlotte. Sports Radio FNZ.
I double it. Triple it. No, everything's about money. You know, networks don't talk about it. Government can't tax it. But sports betting is a $200 billion a year business.
Luck be a lady tonight.
Well, Smoke, I felt really good about our Maction bets last night. Felt really good about them. And some of the theories behind them, by the way, held true. We just got a couple of bad breaks on two of these games. We went 1-2 last night. I took Buffalo to cover the 30.5 points. And they were well on their way to doing so, Smoke. Up 35-3 going into the fourth quarter. They tacked on another touchdown. Buffalo did in the fourth. But they gave up a couple of cheapies to Bowling Green in the fourth. And Bowling Green with a bit of a backdoor cover. That one hurt. It hurt, man. They still went over the 58, too. And then Kent State, I mean, scoring nearly 70 on Akron. I thought it'd be a blowout, but I also thought Akron would sneak inside the 27.5, 28 points last night, as they did the week before. But no, they give up 70. Well, let me just call it what it is. 69. To Kent State last night in Maction. But we have chances to redeem ourselves tonight. More Maction football in the midweek. Ball State at Northern Illinois. Ball State as a 14.5 point favorite right now. I believe it's 15 in some spots, still seeing it at 14.5. If you can get it at 14.5, especially, jump all over it. Ball State at Northern Illinois. Take Ball State with the points. Likewise, Toledo They're on the road. Ball State's at home. Toledo's on the road at Eastern Michigan. And Toledo, the Rockets, a 6.5-point favorite against Eastern Michigan. Take Toledo with the points, minus 6.5. And then finally, we got all the directional Michigan schools back in action again this week. We have Western Michigan at Central Michigan as part of Wednesday night's Maction lineup. Now, the Broncos, 2-7 against the spread in the past 9 road games. 2-8-1 against the spread in the past 11 as an underdog. Now, the Chippewas, 10-0-1 against the spread in their past 11 appearances. But defense is the story here. Defense is where it's at for the Chips. They rank 8th overall, 294.5 total yards allowed, 9th in the nation. They're allowing just 18.5 points per game. We're taking the under tonight in this latest battle of directional Michigan schools. Western Michigan at Central Michigan, take the under 60.5. So to recap, under 60.5 in Western Michigan at Central Michigan. Take Toledo with the points, minus 6.5 at Eastern Michigan. And then we're taking Ball State at home with the 14.5 over Northern Illinois. And those are the Bailey bets. 704-570-9610, Asa Abloy phone lines, Building Center text line. Find me on Twitter at Kyle Bailey Club. It's at Kyle Bailey CLUB. Don't forget, it is our season of giving at the 18th annual WFNZ Street Turkeys presented by Ram Pavement. This year's event is drive-through only on Wednesday, November 25th from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the WFNZ Harris Teeter Doghouse, powered by Coca-Cola, and benefits our friends at Second Harvest Food Bank of Metro Lina and Loaves and Fishes. So drive through, donate a frozen turkey, canned goods, or make a monetary donation. Help us feed our friends in need this holiday season. Last year, we raised $25,000, 1,700 frozen turkeys, and 10,000 pounds of canned and boxed food. Special thanks to Offutt Kerman and Piedmont Natural Gas. We are shooting for $30,000 raised this coming Wednesday. Next Wednesday, 1 week from today, at the 18th annual WFNZ Street Turkeys presented by Ram Pavement. Coming up in 16 minutes, Will Healy, head football coach of the Charlotte 49ers. I mean, I got to believe that dude's just sitting around fantasizing about playing football again at some point this year. Another game called off this coming weekend. They just keep catching bad break after bad break. They had a big one with nationally ranked Marshall on tap this weekend, and it got called off again. The sixth time that's happened to the 49ers this season, and it's, again, leading a lot of people to ask the question, should the football season be canceled? But, Smoke, you look like you have something that you want to chime in with.
Yeah, at this point, if I'm Will Healy or anyone in the Charlotte 49ers football program, I'm putting on my Christmas list an Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3 and availability to get NCAA Football 14. Because it feels like that's the only way they're going to get a game in now.
Yeah, it does feel that way, doesn't it?
They cannot catch a break whatsoever. Like, what's after Marshall? I can't keep track of what they have left.
I'll look it up. I don't know the exact game that's next. I think it might be Western Kentucky next weekend. I believe it's Western Kentucky. Yep, there it is. I think it's Western Kentucky next Saturday, 7 o'clock. And it's on campus. It's a home game for the 49ers. So hopefully they'll get to play that one, and we'll talk to Will Healy about all they've been going through, and we'll get his thoughts probably on the firing of Will Muschamp and, you know, just what that means for the larger state of college football. So Will Healy coming up in about 15 minutes. I want to come back to college football. Actually, let's stay there for a second. It's important to stay there because I heard Mac and Bone bring this up this morning, and this is far from the only place I've seen this written. And I bring it up because, you know, Jay Mariotti, you know, longtime sports columnist, sports reporter, you know, spent a good deal of time on ESPN, on Around the Horn. Jay Mariotti's a guy that is, you know, still pretty well known by sports fans. I think especially sports fans over the age of 30, maybe younger than that as well. But he wrote a piece over at Barrett Sports Media that came out late yesterday saying, please cancel the college football season. A clumsy, regrettable mission has become a dangerous debacle, a disgraceful commentary about administrators who risk the health of players and coaches for one reason, greed. And he goes on to talk about, obviously, that with all these games being canceled and, you know, what's happening around the country in states and cities and localities with not just positive tests, but hospitalizations and deaths also going up with COVID-19, that the smart thing to do is just to cancel the rest of the college football season. He also, by the way, mentions in that, you know, the money and how much money is at stake will likely still dictate this decision, but he's calling for the cancellation of the season. He's not the first person to do that. And he brought up, I believe others have as well, that we're seeing conditions worsen and that with the holiday break coming up for some of these guys next week, right? Thanksgiving, and then, you know, a month after that, Christmas, though that doesn't have as big a factor, you wouldn't think, in trying to keep these guys together and insulated, that it's concern. Something Dabo Swinney was asked about yesterday, and that is specifically, again, how the holiday season could put them at risk in terms of also missing games.
We have Thanksgiving next week, and so our students are not coming back after Thanksgiving because basically they were coming back for 2 weeks. So everybody going home for Thanksgiving. So it's really, we're being a pretty much empty campus as we finish up the semester for a couple weeks. And then nobody was ever here anyway during bowl prep. But this year, whoever's in the, you know, if we play Virginia Tech, I mean, we don't have, you know, if we're in the championship game, you play the championship game, and then you have, like, you know, maybe a day and a half, 2 days, and then you got to get ready to play again on the first if you're in the playoffs, if you were to make that. And if you're not in that, if you're in a New Year's Six Bowl or whatever, well, you don't have a lot of time. So it's not like guys are going to have a bunch of just dead time, you know. So I think the structure of the way it's set up gives us a chance. Our students not coming back after Thanksgiving, our guys are going to be here. We're here. We practice on Thanksgiving. So I think it's just going to depend, you know, Gene, from place to place. And again, it just still ultimately comes down to personal commitment, personal responsibility, and discipline.
There you go. That's Dabo. And talking about the holiday season, students not coming back to campus at Clemson, how that could help them, but, you know, also concerned about travel. Most of these guys won't be, but others, even if it's, you know, kind of a short travel, could be. And thus, again, putting more games at the risk of being canceled. Duke and Wake has been called off for this weekend. For those that don't know, Duke and Wake fans probably already do, but Duke and Wake has been called off for this weekend, as has Georgia Tech at number 12, Miami. Now, Miami's situation is interesting because that game against Georgia Tech has now been moved to December 19th, assuming they're not playing in the ACC title game. And right now, Miami's still in contention for that, but I don't think anybody would bet on them being in that game. So they may still get to play Georgia Tech December the 19th. After that, they were supposed to play Wake, you know, on December the 5th, I believe, and that game with Carolina on the 12th on Miami's schedule, I believe, has been flipped. So you got people scrambling to get this scheduling stuff sorted out, and Miami is very much now in danger of not being able to make that, you know, call it what you want, maybe miracle run to the ACC championship game, because, you know, their schedule has been upended, has been completely screwed up. And it's it's such a weird season in college football already, right? To further illustrate just how strange a season this is in college football, Dave Doran and the NC State Wolfpack have a game on Saturday night at 7:30 at Carter-Finley Stadium against number 21 Liberty. 8-0, led by Hugh Freeze, unbeaten number 21 Liberty. And Dave Doran, in speaking to the media on Monday, said one of the strangest statements that not many of us ever expected to hear going into this season. He talked about possibly playing spoiler against number 21 Liberty's undefeated season.
You know, I hadn't really thought about it like that. For us, we're trying to finish, and we're in the fourth quarter of our season, coming off of a win. And obviously, we'd like to finish winning all three of our games that are on our schedule. And this is just the next one. How it impacts their season really isn't the motivating piece of that for me. It's more about us being better. And I think that's the one thing you can see with our team. Even though we didn't beat Miami, we've gotten better each week here coming out of our bye week. And I want to continue that trend. I want to be a better football team this week and then a better team the next week and peak out when we're supposed to peak out here. And hopefully that'll equal what it is. But, you know, I don't think using their team as a spoiler for their season really motivates me or our kids. It's more about us being better than we were last week.
Such a bizarre season, an absolutely bizarre year that Dave Doran's talking about possibly playing spoiler against number 21 Liberty and their unbeaten season so far this year. Smoke, I mean, that has to register as one of the strangest things that you've ever heard. And, like, I know the joke is everybody's making about 2020 bingo cards. You know, if you had on your 2020 bingo card Dave Doran previewing possibly playing spoiler against unbeaten number 21 Liberty, well, boom, there you go.
Yeah, and the quarterback they have is a transfer from Auburn, of all places, which makes you wonder, is Malik Willis, would he have been better than Bo Nix?
Yeah, it's a fair question, right? It's a fair question.
Unfortunately, Willis is not related to a former Auburn quarterback.
He is not. Hey, before we step aside and get ready to talk to Will Healy in a second, I just want a quick take from you because I thought I saw you make a face when Paul Biancardi said in the previous segment that he thought Jay Billis's James Wiseman comparison to Chris Bosh was interesting, but that he may compare James Wiseman more to David Robinson. What did you think about that?
I mean, look, I love Chris Bosh, but that is a humongous jump from Chris Bosh to the Admiral. I mean, David Robinson is one of the best centers of all time. He's one of the most revered centers of all time. I just look, he's seen James Wiseman a lot more than both of us have. Man, when you just hear that, you don't really throw out comparisons like David Robinson that much.
Well, I found it was interesting for two reasons. First, you're right. I mean, that's the Admiral, one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history, and a more traditional center, something that Biancardi also pointed out. And he's right, too, because, you know, the Admiral was more of a traditional center, you know, especially during the 80s when he was in his heyday in the NBA. The Admiral was also very athletic. I mean, ran the floor well, could step out and knock it down, you know, was more capable of, let's say, defending in space, you know, than many of his contemporaries at the position. But when he said it, I couldn't also help but think, well, wait a minute, does he qualify in Paul's mind as the traditional back-to-the-back big? And if so, does that disqualify him from being a top pick, a top three pick for that very reason? Because some people in the NBA think that it does or that it should. I'm fascinated by that comparison, just like you are. We'll come back, though, and we'll talk to the head coach of the Charlotte 49ers, Will Healy. What does he say to those who believe the rest of the college football season should be canceled? You'll hear his answer next, here in the clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ.
Frustrating is backwards going, especially when you're trying to get ahead in life and at work. So if you're thinking of going to school, enroll at Brandman University, where you can use tomorrow what you learned today in over 90 programs built from the job up. Keep your life and your education moving in the right direction. And go ahead with school, not back to it. At Brandman University, visit brandman.edu or click the banner